Let's go ahead and pray. I'm going to share for a few minutes the word. We do have children's church. For those who don't know, Pastor Lori went upstairs with them, ages 3 and up and up. And Nadja back here will take them upstairs if you'd like to go. I encourage you to. They're going to have a wonderful time learning the Bible and sharing together. We also do have, so there you go. All right. It's the ages 3 to 12, so hopefully the parents will come back down. Sometimes we lose them up there. They just like to stay. Hey, one more thing that's in our bulletin while they're on their way out. That movie night is August 3rd, which is this Wednesday, 7 o'clock. And then for those of you who are interested in a marriage group or a couples group, the advertisement or the invite is right here in the back. You're welcome to come. Just let us know so we can have some food for you. It's a wonderful time. It's at my house. Pastor Lori and I will host that. And we have a wonderful time of fellowship, and we talk about marriage things. So just encourage you. Feel free to come on out. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, as we open up our hearts to receive the Word of God today, we ask that they would be good soil so that the seed of the Word of God can be planted in a way that takes root, that can change and transform our lives. We want to become more like what Jesus has called us to be, more like Him, following your plan and purpose for our life. And so we pray that that happens today as we receive your Word in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen. Amen. Well, believe it or not, God's will for you is victory. Believe it or not, God's will for you is success. Believe it or not, God wants you to be all He has called you to be. We go through a challenge many times because what we experience in the world sometimes is so opposite than what we read in the Bible or what we've been told. But I want you to open your hearts today and receive this message, because the Word of God is a higher level of authority, a higher realm of authority than the natural world that we live in. So even though we're experiencing something with our natural senses, it takes faith in what God said then to what I would say is bring the promises of God out of heaven into the earth. And so if you've ever experienced a supernatural miracle, or if you've ever experienced God accomplishing a promise in your life, you understand it does take faith. When I was young, like around 24 years old, I'm a lot older than that right now. Before I was married, I was on my way to work one day, and I was studying about the power of the name of Jesus, just believing that God would do exactly what He wanted to do in my life. And I was headed to work, 6 o'clock in the morning, driving east into the sunlight, and I didn't see the railroad signals blinking. And as I went across the railroad tracks, a freight train smashed right into the side of my van. And I won't show you right now because it's just a real short, quick illustration here, but I do have before and after pictures of the van. I walked away with literally no scratches. I walked away from the accident, and I looked, and I saw my van totaled in the ditch. The freight train's still moving because it takes about 20 minutes to stop those things. And I walked up, and I went, oh, no, I'm going to be late for work. I say that cavalierly because when the freight train was about to hit me, out of my heart came the name Jesus, and it wasn't an expletive. It was a call for God's protection. So you know what the name Jesus means? They said Yeshua. Jesus literally means, does anybody know what His name means? Salvation. His name means salvation. We shall call His name Jesus because He will save His people. Well, there's no better time to call on the name of Jesus than when you're about to die. So you may be here today thinking, man, all is lost. Everything is hopeless. I feel like I'm about to die. And Pastor Tom here is appointed by God to tell you today that there's a man named Jesus, God come in the flesh, who promises if you call out to Him, He will save you. He will save you. It takes faith and it takes action, but that's what it takes. So today I just want to give you some encouragement that God's will for you is victory. It's success. Each of you are a creation of God. Each of you are God's idea. He created you, and he doesn't create anything without a purpose. So if you're a creation of God, and you are, you've got a purpose. Our responsibility is to find out what is that purpose and pursue it with all of our heart. I want to help you today pursue it with all of your heart, because if you're going to receive God's purpose, if you're going to receive God's miracles, his promises, there's something that's going to have to happen in your life, and that is this. You're going to have to let go of the things that are keeping you from receiving God's promises. Everybody say, let it go. Let it go. Yes, we're doing this in honor of Elsa today. We're going to have a sermon today called Let It Go. Everybody say, let it go. Let it go. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. So I believe all of us want to be successful. Nobody wants to be a loser. Nobody wants to be unsuccessful. Nobody wants to be a failure. Maybe you've been told you are a failure. Maybe you've been told you are a mistake. But God doesn't call you that. God calls you a winner. In fact, there's a scripture that says that the promises of God are for you. Let's put this up there, Tom, if you could say 2 Corinthians. For the Bible says here, for all the promises of God in him are yes. They're not maybe. They're not no. They're yes. And in him, amen, which means so be it. Make it so to the glory of God through us. So there's two things that get to be accomplished here. You get to receive all the promises of God because they're yes. And when you do that, the glory of God will shine through you because you'll be walking in all that God has for you. How many of you want to have some of that today? Okay? All right, good. I want you to engage with me here, because many times before we receive the fullness of God's blessings, we have to let go of the things that are holding us back. So I'm going to talk to you about some things that you need to let go of today. All right? To be all that God has called you to be, you need to let go of things that stop you from receiving the promises. You need to let go of the things that keep you from doing the will of God. You need to let go of the things that steal your joy and rob you of your faith in God. You need to let go of the things that hold you down, that defeat you. You need to let go of the things that lie to you and tell you you're a mistake, you're a failure, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never make any money, you'll never be able to hold a job, you'll never be able to hold a marriage together. You need to let go of those lies and believe God's promises that say yes to you, yes to your calling, yes to your purpose, yes and amen to the promises that God has given you. Now, God has given some of you open doors, and I have had many open doors in my life that I've walked away from because I was holding on to something that didn't allow me to go through. I had open doors in my life, and because of fear, I decided not to walk through it. Because of what somebody else was going to think about me, I decided not to walk through the door. Because I didn't have enough strength, or I didn't have enough energy, or I didn't have enough boldness, I chose not to walk through the door. How many doors have we been given by God that we decided I'm not going to walk through that because what it would require of me to walk through it and receive what God has for me? Now, some of you may have taken some risks that God says, I want you to do this. And when you do that and you step out in faith, God moves also. But until you do, when there's a hesitancy, when there's lack of commitment, all of heaven and all of the promises of God, just wait until you say yes to what he has for you. So you got to let go of some things in order to walk through the door. What lost opportunities have you had because of things that you weren't willing to let go of? I'm going to talk about some of the things that we need to let go of here, because I believe all of us are given tremendous opportunities, awesome promises by God, open doors that stand right in front of us, waiting for us to fulfill the very reason why God put us on the earth, and we hesitate because we know it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us maybe some relationships It's going to cost us some popularity. Maybe it's going to cost us some money. Maybe it's going to cost us some pride. Maybe we have to be humble in order to receive this. But I believe you can have the promotion that God has for you if you'll get rid of the prejudice. You can have the open door if you get rid of the fear. You can have the great marriage relationship if you let go of the unforgiveness. You can have the financial blessing if you let go of the addiction. Let me go on and on and on. But this is what God is giving us the opportunity to receive today, is an open door if we just let go, if you could say it this way, of what won't fit through the door. You know, Jesus used the funny little analogy, you know, a rich man can't get into heaven any easier than what is it, goes through the eye of a needle? A camel goes through the eye of a needle. That's a pretty funny joke. We don't think it's funny, but it was pretty funny back then. You know, an eye of a camel, it's pretty nasty. Get all bloody and cramped up. So that door can't take some of the baggage that you're carrying around. And so it just stays there. Now, does God ever close the door? I think there's a timing on things, but I want to give you hope today. I believe if the door is there, once you decide to come around and let some stuff go, God's right there to pick you up where you left off. Somebody says, if you're wondering where God is, he's in the same place he always was. He never moved. He's been right there waiting. I love that about him. He's been right there waiting for us to let some things go so that we can walk through the doors and receive the promises that he has for us. So let me start with one of the biggest things we need to let go of. And this is just universal for every human being. We need to let go of our past. Now, unless you're a time traveler, you cannot go back and change anything that has happened in your past. You may be able to learn from it. Okay, we'll learn from it then. And then let it go. Let it go. Don't keep replaying the same old mistakes, the same old injustices, the same old failures, the same old circumstances that you feel like caused your life to be the way it is today. Let go of the past and your past life. Now, there may be some things in your past life that you just are embarrassed about, and you think, God can never use me. Well, I want to tell you this. This is the reason why Jesus came and died for us, because none of the things that we do ever measure up, no matter how terrible they are. I mean, there may be something so bad that you've done that they're on your eternal record. I'm not talking about heavenly record. I'm talking about the Circuit Court of Appeals here. That the government has an eternal record for you. And you know what? It may cause you to stumble. It may cause some other people to stumble. But here's what I know. It doesn't call God to stumble. He doesn't stumble over it. He says you can get picked up, and you can move on. In fact, this is what I love about God. The mistakes that you've made, the sins that you've committed, if you really want God's will for your life and his blessing on your life, if you will give him those things in return for his righteousness, he will use those things to help you fulfill your calling. He will redeem your sin, and he will use it to accomplish his purposes. This is why the devil has no footing in anyone's life who is given over to God, because the devil can lie to you, but he cannot cause you to go down in defeat. Because Jesus will take your sin, he will take your failures, and turn them around for your good. I believe that with all my heart, because I've seen that in my life. That's part of the reason I'm here today. It's because God turned around the rebellious life that I had, and he decided he was going to use it. He knew that when I became a pastor, there were going to be people who walked into my life before I was even saved and go, I'm sorry, are you the same Tom Wilkie that I knew when you were in high school? I had one lady one time, she walked in and she found out I was pastoring and she knew me in high school, BC days. You know what BC is, right? It's before Christ, yeah. And she opens up her wallet and she goes, I've got a picture of you when you were in high school. Hey, everybody, you want to see what Pastor Tom looked like? You see, here's the thing. God knew what I was like in high school, and he knew what I was going to be like as a pastor. Most people, if they saw me, what I looked like in high school, would go, he'll probably end up in jail. Right? Right, Zena? We'll probably end up in jail if it wasn't for God's grace and God's mercy. But here's what I'm saying. People didn't call you. God calls you. Because he sees the reason why he put you on the earth. And no matter how far you run, somehow the Holy Spirit can catch up to you and turn you around and get you back. So if you ever think you're out too far, or if you think you know somebody who's gone too far, just say, Holy Spirit, get them. Sick them. Just attack them. Do something. Just don't kill them. Don't let them die. But anything close to that, that would be fine. Just get them back. You see, this is funny. You see, here, I don't know what my mom was praying. She was praying. She decided instead of talking to me about God, she was going to talk to God about me. And within 2 weeks, all of a sudden, things started happening in my life. It was like all my friends were like, come on, let's go out and go. We're going to go cruising. Cruising. Cruising is a word for you're in a car doing drugs. That's what the word cruising means in the 70s. All right? So we're out cruising in the wintertime. So I was invited to go out, but God intervened and didn't allow me to go with them. The next morning, I come to school. All three of them got killed in a car accident right by the high school. And I walk in, and I found out that all my three friends had died brutally in a car accident. And all of a sudden, you know, you got to realize that when the Holy Spirit is trying to draw you and you see God save you miraculously, you know, your life's dangling over the pit of hell and God's saying, I'm going to give you another chance. I went, okay, I think I need to listen to this. Now, not everybody has that chance, unfortunately. But I believe if we will pray for those who are far from God, God will give them that chance to say, no, I'm going to spare your life, but you're going to have to give me control over it. Now, admittedly, this was 1974, and my friends were all into drugs and psychedelics and rock music and things, and that's about it. There wasn't anything else. And so I didn't know anything else. I didn't know anybody else in high school. So when that night I said, God, I don't know what you want to do with my life, but I don't want to die, and I don't want to go to hell. So you can have it if you want it. It's yours. Listen to me. Sometimes this is all you got to pray. God, my life is yours. Do whatever you want to with it. If you can change my life, knock yourself out. Whew. Believe me. He likes that kind of a prayer. If you can have it, if you can change my life. All of a sudden, that next morning I got up, and instead of like, good Lord, morning, I went, good morning, Lord. All of a sudden, seeing my life like it needed another, you know, high, another fix, another this. All of a sudden, my life went from looking in from black and white into color. All of a sudden, the Bible says what happened to me was I was born of the Spirit. God had actually taken me up on my word, and he came and recreated me on the inside, so I was a new person. And I didn't know what that really meant, because in the church I grew up in, they didn't teach you about that dimension. They just taught you about religion. So all of a sudden, I was a new person. And I went to high school that day, and I was a new person. And before I walked out of my room, I said, God, what do you want me to do today? And he goes, you know all that stuff you have in hiding in your room. I had a lot of stuff, baby. It was worth hundreds of dollars. I said, yeah, what about it? He goes, take it, throw it in the river. You know, now seriously, now think, maybe you're not tracking with me, but seriously, this is what I thought. Cool. God actually spoke to me and he told me to do something. This isn't religion. This isn't religion. God didn't say, turn yourself into the police. He didn't say, go tell your mom and dad all the things that you've been doing behind their back. He said, just take your stuff, throw it in the river. You're a new person. And then I went, cool. I packaged it up on my way to school. I threw it in the river. I went, okay, what's next, God? He says, I'll tell you tomorrow. I went into school, and everybody's like, they're normal. Wilkie, let's go out. We're going to go get hot. We're going to do this. And I went, okay, great, let's go. And so I went out, and instead of getting high with them, I said, you know, I don't want to get high because I am high. I am with the Most High. And they went, what's that? And I went, well, what it is I gave my life over to Jesus because I didn't want to die with all of our friends. And something changed. And this is great. And eventually, because, you know, the more you smoke and drink, you know, the more you don't want to hear that stuff. So that got boring after a while, and then they said, okay, well, we don't want to invite Wilkie out anymore because he's just going to tell us about God. And then one day, because you know, you have a locker partner, and my friend Ralph, my locker partner, he got, you know, real long hair, and he knew one word named wow. And then he could say it backwards, wow. And then I started telling him because I actually got filled with the Holy Spirit at an Assembly of God church, and it was right by his house. And I said, hey, I'm going to church tonight. You want to come with me? He goes, oh, I don't know. He says, I said, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. He goes, what's that? Well, he was a Catholic, so he kind of knew what the Holy Spirit was, but he didn't know what being filled with it was. I said, well, when he comes and fills you, he gives you another language. And I can speak in other tongues. He goes, oh, far out. He goes, can you do it? I went, yeah. So I did it to him. He goes, oh, I said, you want that, Ralph? You want that? Just come to church with me. You can get it. Oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Do I have to give up my guitar? So you got to get rid of the past that tries to keep you from becoming what God's called you to be. And the way to do that is say, God, I give it to you. Because if you don't give it to God, then you're just going to be trying to drag it around, making excuses for it, or justifying it, or making up for it. And you know what? That's just going to knock you out of what God wants for you. The Apostle Paul said, and this is a scripture, if you got this up on the screen here, Tom, Philippians chapter 3, it says, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved yet what God's called me to be. But I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Next verse. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. This is his focus. You got to let go. You got to let it go if you're going to embrace. You got to let go of the past if you're going to embrace what God has for you. And each of you in here is loved by God, believed in by God, called by God, given a purpose by God. And all you have to do is surrender to him and say, I want what you want for me, God. I want what you want for me. Help me attain that. Help me attain that. So no matter what mistakes you made, and some of us got really big ones, God has a bigger eraser than your mistakes. His eraser is bigger than your mistakes, all right? If you receive God's grace, he will erase your guilt because grace wins every time. I don't care how far you've gone or how low you've gone, his grace wins every time. If you receive God's forgiveness, he will erase the condemnation. Now, there's a spirit in this part of the country, in this city of Milwaukee, and it's a spirit of condemnation. It's a religious spirit. It tries to keep people who want to serve God under condemnation, thinking that they are never going to be good enough to be used by God. And the fact is, you are never going to be good enough to do anything for God, but that didn't stop God from calling you and making you good enough, turning you in from a sinner into a saint, a separated one, who then, with a life of surrender, God will just use you however he wants to. However he wants to. And here's the thing. However God wants to. Not how everybody else wants to. Not everything everybody else thinks about you. What God thinks about you is so key. And because here's another one that will hold you back, and that is this. You have to let go of perfectionism. Perfectionism. When I married Pastor Lori, she was a perfectionist. This is her story, not me. She's in the room. I'm not talking behind her back. She was a perfectionist. And so can you imagine what she thought when somebody asked her to stand up in front of people on stage and actually sing? Oh, what are they going to think? My hair's out of place. I may be flat. Or what if they don't like the song? Or what if I'm too this way or I'm too that way? And so when she got asked to sing, we weren't like in a little, we weren't like with three people. We were like with thousands of people because the people we were traveling with, she was with thousands of people. And, we're going to have this little nice little Lutheran girl come up and sing. And she'd get done singing, and we'd go back to the hotel room, and she'd start to cry. That was terrible. Oh, I was supposed to do this. Nothing was good about that. And I'm like, excuse me? You blew them away. Can you see? She blew people away. People got healed. People got free. The people were blessed. Hearts were healed and all this. And she's thinking it was terrible. See what perfectionism will do to you? God will use you. A miracle will happen. And you go, I'm a failure. Because it's never good enough. I learned a long time ago, I will never be good enough. But God decided to call me and choose me anyway. You don't have to be what everybody wants you to be used by God. All you have to be is surrendered to God, and he will use you however he wants to. Say, I surrender. All right, well, the service isn't over yet, so we'll give you another chance to do that in a minute. I surrender. I'm not going to quit just because you did that. All right, so let go of perfectionism. Here's the thing. There will never be a perfect time or the perfect conditions to do what God asks you to do. You will never be the perfect person to receive the fullness of God's blessings. He will give it to you by his grace if you only believe. You will never have enough time, never have enough money, never have enough faith, never have enough strength to become all that God has called you to be. It doesn't come through our effort. It comes through our surrender. It comes from our willingness to say, I surrender to whatever you want. Whatever you want. Now, that's scary because a lot of times we don't know what God wants. When I was 17 and I gave my life, I just said, whatever you want. And I remember one of the prayers that my mom prayed, if you know my mom, she had a prayer that she said, God, do with him whatever you want to do. Parents, you might want to write that down for your kids. Do with them whatever you want to do. So then we became a pastor, we did this, and my mom says, and I had no idea he was going to do all this. You know what? And that's the case. When you let God do whatever he wants to do, you have no idea down the road he's going to do all this. He's going to do it all. And it's going to be awesome. And the devil's going to fight you. And he's going to lose. And it's going to be awesome. People are going to disagree with you. And you're going to love them. And it's going to be awesome. You're going to have to sacrifice. And you're going to have to pray more. And you're going to have to make commitments. And you're going to win. And it's going to be awesome. So just let go of your perfectionism. All right? We're all imperfect. We're all too busy. We all don't have enough. We all are weak. But if you just Do your best with what God gives you. Jesus said, just be faithful over the little you have. And if you are, then you'll become ruler over more. Just be faithful over the little more, and you'll be promoted with a little bit more. And that door will be there, and you'll have to say, okay, here's another promotion. Do I want to do what it takes to go through this next door? Do I want to do what it takes to go to the next level? And trust me on this. I've gone to many different levels, and each one gets a little harder. But you know what? They're all worth it. They're all worth sacrificing for to go to that next level in God. I'm at a plateau right now. There's another level. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be. 3 years ago, we were going through a challenge, and our bishop and Pastor Lori had a dream, and God said to us, I want you to start a daycare and a child care center. And I went, oh my goodness, I might as well be a rocket scientist. A daycare? I must be an astronaut. I must be a brain surgeon. But God said, I want you to do it. So we said, we surrender. And here we are. We got one of the greatest daycare centers in the north side of Milwaukee. We had a licensor come a couple weeks ago. And you know what licensors do? They look for everything that's wrong. You know? They don't bring lunch over. They don't come with raving review. They come to find out what you're doing wrong and write you up and penalize you. our licensor comes through, unannounced, of course. They always come unannounced. And he walks through. Where's this? Where's that? Who's teacher? He gets all done. He goes, you know what? You guys got one of the best daycare centers I've ever been in. Oh, well, thank you. Yes.
Thanks to Pastor Tom, who administrates a lot of it. So he's very helpful.
Breaking news. Pastor Larry wants to sing a song. Right now?
Whenever you're ready.
Okay, well, you can't stand up there while I'm talking because nobody will look at me.
I'm hiding back here. Okay.
It was 3 weeks ago, we just celebrated our 34th wedding anniversary. It's been awesome. It's been awesome. So when we invite you to our marriage group, it's because we've got some experience. So there you go. The Apostle Paul, when dealing with this thing of perfectionism, you know, really, he was called to do the impossible thing. And all of us are called by God to do something we can't do on our own. And the word for that is impossible. We can't do the things of God without his help. So, you know, if you've been here now for an hour and a half, for an hour and 20 minutes, you've realized that Spirit Life Church isn't a place where you're just going to get a bunch of religion telling you, well, God wants you to do this, 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 and just measure up and do all the things that God wants you. We're not into religion. What we want you to do is I want you to have an experience where when you go out of these doors, God uses you to touch people's lives and change the world, where you actually can be Jesus to people and see them with the compassion and the love that Jesus has for them, and not reject them, not judge them, not condemn them, but be bold enough to say, you know, I have something to offer them because God's changed my life. And I believe that's what we're here to receive, is a change in our life so that when we see others, we have a promise from God that we can give them. His forgiveness, his love, his compassion. It could be more. It could be a miracle. Maybe God says, pray for that person. They're sick, and God heals them. Maybe many of you have experienced that, where you've actually done what the Bible says and lay hands on the sick, and God caused them to recover. You know, one of the things in our child care center is, you know, kids bring in a lot of, let's just say, germs. Okay, kids bring in a lot of germs. So they're in our center, and sometimes there's sneezing and sniffles and coughing and other things. And so Lori has taught the teachers, the first thing you do is pray that God heals them. You know, a lot of our kids just get healed. They never get sent home. So, of course, we have a hidden agenda. We want to keep from getting sick ourselves. But that's what we do. We say, God, you can heal this. You can turn this around. I mean, if Jesus went everywhere Jesus went, he healed those that were oppressed. Certainly, we can be a part of that. So, if you feel like you can't do what it takes because you're not perfect, just remember this scripture, that this saying from the Apostle Paul, I can do everything through Christ who strengtheneth me. Let's say that. I can do everything through Christ who strengtheneth me. So when God asks you to do something, you say, I can do everything God asked me to do through Christ. Anything God wants me to do, I can do it. And it's not going to always be neat and clean and organized. You know, sometimes, you know, some of us get so structured and everything's got to be just perfect. Life is messy. People make mistakes. Stepping out and living for God means taking risks. But you know what? If you're following God with a pure heart, he can take your mistakes and turn them around. Believe me, I've made some untold mistakes as a pastor in the years I've been doing this. But you know what? God knew I was going to make them. He still allowed me to be used by him. God knows you're going to make mistakes when you step out and follow your dream that he's given you. Learn from it. If it's a failure, just learn from it and use it as a stepping stone. Okay? Got to accept the fact that you are only human. You are not God. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's why we need his word in our heart. All right, the next let it go. I like this one. And I'm going to continue this next week if you want to come back. I've got a few more to give you. But I wanted to give you this one. Let go of the loser channel. Let go of the loser channel. I'm serious. We walk around and we just replay stuff in our head that says, see, you can't make it. You're no good. See, you're a failure. You know? You may put on a good show. You may act like you got it all together. You may have some swagger. But, you know, there's this movie playing in your head that goes, loser, failure, idiot, stupid, you know, could get worse. It's just, there's these just dark thoughts that start to play over your mind. You know, you believe the negative reports 10 times faster than you believe the positive ones about you. I could get almost all of you in here to tell me, you know, that was an encouraging message. That was a nice message. Thank you, Pastor Tom, for sharing that with us today. I could get one person and go, why didn't you talk about this more? Why didn't you do that? And I'll walk home and I'll go, that's the one I'm thinking about. The one that wasn't happy with what I talked about. Why? Because that's the way our brain works. We are tuned into the loser channel, and you got to let it go. Okay? You got to let it go. Unsubscribe from the loser channel. I didn't pay for this. Jesus paid for it, and he eliminated it from my queue. All right? It's not in my queue anymore. It's not on my programming list. The loser channel is gone. Now I'm tuned in to the winner channel, to the victory channel, to the overcomer channel, to the I can do everything channel. See, you've got a frontal lobe here. I'm not a doctor, but you've got a frontal lobe here. Maybe I should have been a brain surgeon. This part of your brain gives you the ability to choose what you're going to think about. It gives you the ability what channel you're going to be watching in your head. And you can choose to change the channel as easy as changing what you think about. I'm not going to think about that anymore. See, the scriptures tell us to do that. It tells you to renew your mind. It tells you think on these things, the things that are good and right and pure, worthy of praise. I tell you, if there's some stuff, because a lot of the stuff on my loser channel isn't even stuff that I've done. It's stuff what people have told me. You call yourself a pastor? You think you're that? I'm leaving this, that, and the other thing. So, the channel just automatically goes into play, and I've got to change it on purpose. And guess what? My frontal lobe gives me the opportunity to think on good things. Oh. When I was seven, God called me. He delivered me from my He delivered me. He called me as a pastor supernaturally. He told me what church to go to. He told me what to do in my church. He knew I was going to make lots of mistakes. He calls me anyway. God knew King David was going to commit adultery and murder the adulteress's husband. He calls him anyway. I know that doesn't fit in Christian theology, but it fits in God's theology because he's God. And we need to get in line with God's theology that no matter how corrupt, how sinful somebody's behavior, doesn't change what God has called them to do. God doesn't go, okay, well, that's it. I'm revoking my calling. I'm revoking my calling. In fact, that's why I love what Paul said in Romans. He says, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. So no matter how far you've fallen, what you've done, or for that matter, for anybody else that you may know, you just say, Holy Spirit, get them. God, I just surrender. Take this. If you can take my junk in the trunk, then you can have it, baby. All right? It's all yours. Occasionally, the thought comes to me of all the things that people have said that they didn't like about me. Ever happened to you? Of course, maybe nobody's ever said anything to you that they don't like about you. Maybe you're just not listening. And it bothers me that people say things that they don't like about me. It bothers me that they have disagreements with me. I'm talking about people in the church who disagree with me as a pastor, who are in conflict with me because they think I'm doing things wrong. And after years and years of working together, they decide, well, because you made this mistake now, it bothers me. See you later. And it bothers me. And that shows up on my loser channel. It shows up like, well, you're really not very good at this. You know, why don't you just find something else to do? Why don't you go deliver bread or drive a beer truck or something? I was raised in a Lutheran church, excuse me. Why don't you just do something else? You know, bother people. And God says, you know what? They didn't call you. You know what? They didn't tell you to go into ministry. You know what? They, whoever they are, doesn't supply for you. They don't guide you and tell you how to lead the church. And God begins to, on the God channel, God begins to tell me all the reasons why the approval that I think I so deeply need from everyone else is not on a journey to success. It's on a journey to defeat. Because I could do everything, we could do everything perfect like Jesus, and they still want to crucify you. You love, you have compassion. Listen to this. You can get wisdom and seek counsel, but that's different. You can seek wisdom and counsel, but that is different than approval. It's different than approval. You can get wisdom from somebody, but it's different than needing their approval, because ultimately, there's only one person you want approval from. And it's God. You know, half the time I don't approve of the things I do. If it's not what God wants me to do, I have to say, God, is this what you want me to do? And so turn off the loser channel, turn on the victory channel, and let go of people's approval. Just say, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to go all the way with God. I'm going to sell out to what God has asked me to do, whether people like it or not. Trust me, when you sell out and do what God asks you to do, there's going to be people around you who don't like it. Just keep going. Just invite them to come with you. Come on. It's going to be nicer than you thought. Let's just go for God. You know? See, a lot of you won't go for God because the people that you're connected with don't want to go with you. Some of your family members, they're not going to go for God. And if you go, all of a sudden, you're out. Some of your friends won't go for God. And if you do, no, they're no longer your friends. Some of the people who are what I call high maintenance people that try to control you with guilt and try to control you with the things that you have to do in order for you to be a nice person to them, if you start obeying God instead of them, oh, watch out. My mom has another expression for this, and I'm not sure I can say it in church. But all hell will break loose. Oh, you call your... Here we go. You call yourself... I'm going to call myself anything. I'll call yourself. Oh, you got... All these little expressions that try to control you into their little mold so that you get their approval. You know what? Let it go. Some of you came here just for that. Let it go, or you'll never go for God, because you'll always be beholden to the approval of those around you. And God says, you can't become what I've called you to be if everybody has to approve of it. All right, let me close with this. And then Pastor Lori, I guess, is still up there ready to sing a song, right? She's been making faces at me while I'm doing this. All right. I know, she's a cheerleader for me. Guys need cheerleaders, right? Yeah, she's a cheerleader, all right. She is. She's the most encouraging person I know. She's amazing. And she's taught my daughter how to be encouraging. So now I got two cheerleaders in my house. That's why I'm a winner. You can't be a winner. You got some cheerleaders on your side, baby. We got to be each other's cheerleaders. And here's the last thing. Let go of all that. We'll talk about more things that we can let go of next week. But embrace what God has for you. Okay? We're going to be letting go of stuff all the time. But you got to embrace then the promises that God has for you. Say yes to Him. Say yes to Him. Say yes to God. His promises are yes and amen. Say yes to the awesome life He's planned for you. No matter what you've been told about God or life, it's an awesome life. It's a life-changing, dramatic experience to walk closely with Him, to be a part of His plan and purpose for your life. This is not normal Sunday morning Christianity. This is like whatever at any moment of your life, God says, do this, go here, give that, pray for this person, receive this blessing, just to be available and surrendered to Him. So the first step is just to say, God, I surrender to You. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to do that, and then Pastor Lori will come and minister. I know it's a song that God's really put on her heart. But I just want to say to you, it's a wonderful thing to surrender to God's love and forgiveness. It's an awesome thing to experience God's grace, to let go of the things that hold you back from becoming what God's called you to be, and just saying, yes, God, I want to be what You've called me to be. So in your heart, just say this with me. Just say, Heavenly Father, I let go of my past, of my mistakes. I let go of needing approval from people. I let go of my fear of serving You. I let go all unforgiveness. I let go of my hurts, my hang-ups, my hard heart. and I surrender to Jesus Christ. What is it, God, that you have for me? Speak to my heart. Show me the path to walk on. Strengthen me right now. I want to see more and more of what you have for my life. I surrender to you all that you have for me, God. Take control. I know you are with me. I know you love me. And so I trust you that you will do what's right for my life. In Jesus' name, amen.